the smell of death. I am rotting away, he thought. It is all over. He leaned against the smooth trunk of a young beech tree, and then half fell, half slid down it until he was sitting in the dried leaves at its foot. The forest, in high summer, reverberated around him with bird calls and insect cries. Once he had loved that sound, had known every bird. Now it was an unpleasant clamor that made his head ache. He had buried his head in his arms, but now a sudden strange sound, a kind of rough bark, made him look up. A crafted animal, a sort of wolf, stood before him. He saw the flash of its lapis blue eyes and the dull gleam of its cinnabar lips. The clarity of the hallucination and his fever filled him with despair. Then the false wolf spoke in a thick, halting voice.
Welcome home,
it said, and Shika knew where he was and where the stench of rot and decay came from. It was over a year since he had ridden away with Akuzinji, the king of the mountain, but now he had come back to the mountain sorcerer, Shisoku. It watched him struggle to his feet and then turned and padded swiftly away. He followed it across the stream, past the carvings, the drying skins, the piles of bones, the live and dead animals, to the hut beneath the paulownia tree. It stopped in front of the door.
Maher!
It called. The vowels in its speech were clear, but it had trouble with some consonants.
Maher!
Shisoku came out of the hut, shading his eyes with one hand.
Shikanoko, why have you come back? What have you done?
Shika dropped the bag as Shisoku approached him. It lay on the ground like a dead bird, the hilt of the sword protruding from it.
What is this? Whose sword was this? Nothing should be put in the same bag as the mask. Where is the mask?
It is broken,
Shika heard himself say.
Ah!
Shisoku screamed like the mother of a dead child.
It cannot be broken! No human power can hurt it! How did it happen?
He drew the two pieces out and wept over them. Shika tried to explain.
It was the horses. They attacked me. Not their fault. My fault.
Shisoku's face was distorted by rage and grief. Without saying another word, he rushed back into the hut. Shika sank to the ground. His teeth clashed against each other as the fever sent violent shudders through him.
Are you sick?
The false wolf said.
Master, he's sick.
Let him die,
Shisoku called from inside.
He destroyed my gift, my creation. All the power of the forest could have been his, and he threw it away.
The false wolf called again.
Maher! Help him!
And it began to lick Shika's face with a tongue that felt human. The sorcerer appeared again.
How extraordinary!
Shika heard him say.
The creature feels sorry for him. Maybe I should too. Yes, I suppose I must.
He knelt next to Shika and felt his forehead, then, none too gently, examined the broken arm. While Shika wept tears of pain, Shisoku disappeared and then, after what seemed like an eternity, was again kneeling beside him, making him drink some potion. It dulled his senses enough for Shisoku to be able to align the ends of the broken bone. He longed for sleep, for oblivion. But every time he closed his eyes, he believed he was dead and in hell, burning in fire, pierced by swords, knives, arrows, and thorns, tormented by visions of demons and unquenchable thirst. He saw, over and over again, the horse's huge teeth as they tore into him, and his body arched and twisted as he felt again the hammer-like blows of their hooves. Liquid poured from his body, both sweat and tears, the waters of remorse. At one stage he dreamed Lady Tora came to him.
Are you alive or dead?
He tried to ask her, but she laid her cool fingers against his burning lips and silenced not only speech, but thought, too.